You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Every now and then a song will grab the attention and the start of many conversations and sometimes some arguments. And Merle Haggard's song, Okie from Muskogee, is certainly one of those. Back released in 1969. We're going to talk about that song now. And we're going to head over now to the United States of America and speak to Rachel Rubin. Good afternoon, Rachel. How are you? Good morning,
shall
I say.
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. Whereabouts in the States are you?
I'm in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, fantastic. Cheers. That's what I know about Boston. the sitcom Cheers. Well, anyway, it's great to have you on. I've known about this song for a while because I'm a bit of a country music fan myself. It is one of those songs that kind of mirrors or maybe tells a tale of what's going on in American culture at that time, and maybe even you look at other countries as well. So why focus on this song, and what was it for you that made you want to look at this?
Well, one of the things that drew me to it is how people argued about the song. And it sort of is evidence how important it is to listen to music. You know, like the joke I often make is that unless you're a character in a 19th century Russian novel, you're not going to go down to the bar and say, you know, I'm worried about who is getting drafted and who isn't, you know. Yeah. But you might say, like, darn those hippies, you know. But so it's very interesting to me to see what people said about the song as well as the song itself.
Yeah, and the reaction, it was quite amazing across the United States. Of course, it was a massive hit for Merle Haggard, who was who kind of cemented himself as a country star at that point. We're going to hear the song. This is the live version, which I like this version better, and kind of gives you a bit of the feel of how popular it was amongst country music fans. So let's hear the song, and for those listening, if you've not heard this song before, do have a listen to the words, because really that's what it's all about. Let's have a listen. Merle Haggard.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. We like living right, being free. We don't make a party out of loving. We like holding hands and pitching woo. We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy like the hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares can have a ball. We still wave old glory down at the courthouse, and white lightning's still the biggest thrill of all. Leather boots are still in style for manly footwear. Beads and Roman sandals won't be seen. For Football's still the roughest thing on campus. And the kids here still respect the college dean.
All together, everybody.
I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee.
Thank you.
A place where even squares can have a ball. We still wave old glory down at the courthouse, by golly. And white lightning's still the biggest thrill of all. We still wave old glory down at the courthouse in Muskogee, Oklahoma, USA.
Well, to some of you, it might be the first time you've heard that song, and others you will know it, of course, if you're a bit of a country fan. What was the response to that song when it first came out? Did you find that out, Rachel?
Well, and it's interesting because that was obviously not the first live recording, yes, of the song. So when the song first came out, it ignited all sorts of conversations. There were people who said, you know, darn those Okies, like, what is wrong with them? And you know, there are so many really, really like negative parodies of the song, all interestingly set in the south of the United States, although Haggard himself is from Northern California. So there were people who said, you know, finally, like, we're being seen, you know, and they were proud, and they really took that literally, proud to be an Okie from Muskogee. The interesting thing about both of those takes for me is, and I often start by saying this, like, how can you take seriously a song that contains the line, leather boots are still in style for manly footwear?
Yeah.
And as a college professor, I totally love the way in the first recording of the song when he says the kids all still respect the college dean, he like audibly chuckles a little bit.
Yeah.
The interesting thing too is to sort of stack it up against, you know, Haggard's own life.
I was going to say, it's the irony of it, isn't it, really?
Yes. No, he went to a total of 9 days of high school.
Yeah.
9 days of high school. He was incarcerated multiple times, starting really, really young, and so on.
And am I right? That's where he kind of, I think Johnny Cash came to his prison, and that's really where he kind of got this, the idea to go and become a country star, I suppose.
Yes, that is in fact true. And what is so fascinating is that Johnny Cash, you know, was never incarcerated, yes. But he became, like, associated because of the concerts, you know, that he became associated with a sort of, like, glamorous, you know, ex-con.
Yeah.
And Haggard didn't. He was ashamed of it for a long time, and finally just, you know, started to bring his own life story into his songs in the late 60s.
You talk about the irony of it there, and some of the words in there are quite amazing, like pitching wool and so on, and we don't make a party out of loving. And the irony is that probably there was drugs going on there as much as was anywhere else, and parties made of loving as well going on there. Oh,
absolutely. And in fact, you know, Haggard has two different volumes of his autobiography, and he just makes both of those things clear in both.
Yeah. And really, I mean, he co-wrote the song. So is he, what was, mm-hmm. do you think his aim in bringing the song up? Was he trying to say, you know what, there's more to America than California and New York?
Well, you know, I mean, one thing we do need to keep in mind about Haggard's autobiography is that his parents were Dust Bowl Okie refugees.
Yeah.
And so they left Oklahoma. You know, he was born in a, like, discarded train car. His parents did all kinds, and Haggard himself did all kinds of, you know, work that Okies, like Steinbeck's Okies did. And while those guys are glamorized, you know, a little bit, and Haggard, I mean, it, by the literature. They were really, really looked down on by people who were in California there already, and they continued to be. And I sort of see Hagrid as a second generation of this.
Yeah, and I suppose some people felt like they were being championed, certainly those maybe who weren't from California or from other kind of more liberal states, for want of a better term. And it kind of shows you the polarization of America. And I suppose at the moment, that song is probably more relevant than it's ever been.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the song remains relevant because, and, you know, this is much less common here in the United States, but Hagrid and country music in general, but Hagrid in particular, makes many, many references to economic class. And yeah. So I think that has remained relevant. I mean, we still have, we're seeing now greater and greater class divides. So, you know, finding a way to be proud, I think, does matter.
Was it a political song as far as, was it, Republican versus Democrat, or was it not so black and white as that?
I do not think it was at all simple as that. I mean, Hagrid himself has given so many different explanations for the song and, you know, has repeatedly said things like, well, there's, 1,700 ways you could take that song. So I think one of the ways it functioned is that people projected a lot of meaning onto it. So, you know, there have been a lot of stories circulated about how the song was written. In one case, Hagrid said, well, I was trying to understand my father's generation. In another case, Hagrid told a reporter, well, I just saw a television news report that somebody coming through Muskogee, Oklahoma, was caught with a huge amount of weed. Somebody else has said, oh, Hagrid and the guy he co-wrote it with were in a van together with the band, and they saw the sign on the highway that said Muskogee, Oklahoma, and they were all, or at least some of them, smoking pot at the time, and they said, bet they don't smoke pot there, and cracked up. So there are many, many legends about how the song circulated. And Hagrid himself was able to get, I mean, this is an interesting thing. He was able to get more and more open about it as his career actually solidified.
What I found really interesting a while ago when I was putting a bit of a country music list together on on YouTube, and as I looked up that song, up came the Beach Boys in concert singing Okie from Muskogee.
And the Beach Boys in concert singing Okie from Muskogee together with the Grateful Dead.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that bit. No.
Their hair long, shaggy, as it were.
And that's the irony of it. I didn't know where the concert was, you may know, but it was 70s or maybe. And they've got long beards and long, shaggy hair. And it's almost, they sing this song and they kind of enjoy singing it, because the Beach Boys do.
They love it. But have you watched the video of the Beach Boys and the Dead performing this song? You can tell that they understand that it's not meant straight. They point to their hair, they point to their beads, and so on.
And the camera pans across, and you've got these kind of maybe San Francisco types in the crowd, singing along to this song, that which really, I suppose, speaks volumes of the popularity of even country music, that most of them knew the words and sang along with it.
Yes. I mean, and I have to say this about the Grateful Dead. They were for a lot of people, they were, an entrance into country music, because they covered a lot of country songs, including multiple Hagrid songs.
And so really, I mean, that song, as we said, back in the late 60s, if somebody's going to write a song today, we touched on this, I suppose, already, but would it have similar themes to that song, or has it dated quite a lot?
If somebody were writing a song about Okies?
Yeah, would they feel undermined today?
I can completely think of various updated versions, but they're parallel.
Well, it's quite fascinating, isn't it? And really, what's there obvious in the late 60s in America, and I think is still very much there today, we can look at our own country, the UK, or look here in Spain where we're living here, and we can see similar situations. It's not unique to the US, where people feel maybe sidelined, or they feel like they've not got a voice.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And I think that is one of the most important things about popular music, that you can find a way to feel like seen in that way.
Mm. Well, Rachel, what are you? Do you lean more towards the Grateful Dead or to Merle Haggard yourself?
Myself, I really like both of them a lot, but I'm a huge Haggard fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story as well, isn't it? When you see how his life turned out, and I'm about to play a song in a moment, which he recorded towards the end of his life, really, with Willie Nelson, called "It's All Going to Pot." Are there many songs that you would put in that category that kind of make a comment on culture the way in which that one did at the time?
Oh, I mean, I think Haggard alone has so many.
Yeah.
You know, the song that he recorded a few years later, but that he wanted to be, you know, the flip side of Okie, was a song about an interracial romance and how racists, you know, prevented it from happening.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I've not come across that one. I'll have to look that one up, I suppose. Rachel, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate your time on this. And if anybody wants to find out more about you or find out more about this particular study, how can they do that?
Well, you can definitely order the book.
Yeah, fantastic.
And if you want to contact me, I'm at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, and I'd be happy to engage in any kind of conversation about HAG.
Yeah, absolutely. And the book is available. If you go to our website, it's available there on tre.radio. Click on the bookshop banner and you can order the book. It's called Merle Haggard, Okie from Muskogee, and it's by Rachel Rubin. So, Rachel, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. I'm going to play this newish one now by Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. It's All Going to Pot. And hopefully it isn't all going to pot, but looking at the news.
It's a great follow-up to Okie.
Fantastic. Rachel, have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.